Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Polly Howard on VSiN.
Good to have you on board. Thanks for watching, as always, on YouTube TV, listening on Sirius XM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our great affiliates across the country. Really looking forward to this full hour as professional better Frank B. kind enough to join us in studio here during Super Bowl week. Good to see you again, my man. How are you?
Good to see you guys. Yeah. Super Bowl, it seems like it comes around faster every year. You know?
I know.
Seems like we just did this.
We have a lot to get into this hour. I want to ask you if you'd rather have a game like this, or let's say Rams-Bills, where the total's in the mid-50s, so you can look at unders that way. We'll get to that coming up in about 15. You think this is a good game with the defense and the special teams overall. Also, you've been scouting Las Vegas since you've been here now over the past week or so. Plus, I'm going to throw some numbers at you that are available on this game in the state of Washington that blew my mind today.
That'll be interesting.
And if it would be worth catching a last-minute flight up there to bet them. And a $900,000 jackpot that you fell asleep on. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's a good summation.
Let's begin with this. You sent over a couple of screenshots that can confuse bettors, potentially, that books put up on their apps, and just like common mistakes that bettors make for the big game.
Well, the one that you're talking about is, a big confusion that occurs with people when they start to look at props and they start to analyze small samples of data, which is what you have to do with player props. I mean, you're not going to get into the long run doing that. So they take the mean, which is the average, instead of the median, which is the point at which half the occurrences are above that and the other half are below, the over-under, the median. The median is what they should be using. So you can make these mistakes examining a lot of props. And the thing that I sent you was from the MGM. I thought it was interesting that when you logged in and you brought up, what was it? Longest
reception.
It's longest? Yeah, okay. So longest reception. You can see you got the line there for all of them. But as a little helpful thing, they took the text out. Oh, no, it was average. You can see the average of the guy's longest. And if you notice anything peculiar, every one of their averages is higher than the posted line, which might suggest to somebody that doesn't understand mean versus median is that, wow, look at what a deal they're giving us on all these overs. You know, JSN is only 27 and a half. He averages 35.1, though, as his long. It's because they're taking everything together, adding them up, and then dividing them by the number again. That's not the way to do it. Depending on the prop, you can make a little mistake or you could make a big mistake. If you're looking at things that way, we can talk about that when we get into like the special teams and stuff. Yeah, anytime that you're looking to examine a guy, a player, and you want to arrive at what you think your line would be, a fair line, go for the median. You want to take all the sample that you think is relevant, find the midpoint. Half of them are above and half of them are below. That's your starting point, your raw starting point. Then you can start adjusting from there for, you know, conditions. We'll get into, you know, guys that are hot, recency, you know, change in personnel and stuff like that.
Yeah, sure, sure. So how do you handicap fringe players? And guy, you would think Bobo's going to be popular, even though he's only had four catches, but had a touchdown.
You think Bobo, you didn't think that 10 days ago because you didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
But Bobo, I mean, okay, again, so that one would fall into the category of recency, right?
Uh-huh.
There's only props for him because he caught a touchdown pass.
That's right.
He caught two passes all season long during the regular season. And now he caught one in each of the playoff games. Uh-huh. Now all of a sudden he's the guy that we're going to have a prop on. Be careful with that. I think the thing that could trip you up the most with a guy like that is when they put the prop up, you have to read the fine print. Disclaimers on that. Like say you got something over-under on him, especially if it's something like yardage. What does the fine print say about if he doesn't catch a pass?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because there's a lot of guys with those small numbers, 1.5, guys that are 1.5 catches, and they go 3, 4, 5 times a year, they don't catch a pass. And what happens there? Some places say, doesn't catch a pass, no action. And some places say, if he doesn't catch a pass, under is the winner. You got to find out. So, you know, the strategy is obviously, if it says that he has to catch a pass to have action, well, then you're going to start leaning more to the over. You say, well, okay, I go over 1.5. or go over 8.5 yards on, or about 13 and a half yards on his longest, because if he gets the goose egg, I get my money back, you know?
So bet overs at shops like that and unders at the other shops, obviously.
Yeah, I think that's that. Yeah, you got to develop a strategy for the disclaimers if it goes, you know, either or.
So then what do you make of when you go back? Because Drake May's been popular with the rushing yards, right?
Oh, yeah.
And certainly there's going to be an angle here where he can take off and he's the focal point of the offense. But when you look back at and compare his recent numbers, now he's flying over these numbers, but in recent games, 26.5, 29.5, and now for the big game, 36.5, 37.5. What do you think about that?
All right, so this guy is probably, you think he's the most popular bet people are anxious
rushing
to bet
yards
on?
Over one,
it's one
rushing
of the big
yards.
Ones, yeah.
No doubt.
Yes. Right, the rushing yards, because in the playoffs he had, I don't know exactly, I think it was 66, then 10, and then 65, right? Okay, two biggest games of the year. So now we're into the recency thing. Now, this is like a carbon copy of, it's Patrick Mahomes over the course of recency, even last year. And okay, so Patrick Mahomes last year, his median, we're using that word median again, rush yards per game was 17. Okay, you have to trust me on that. Okay. Then the game before the Super Bowl, the championship game, he had 40 some.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he does have that reputation for running. And there is some truth to it. So what do they make him in the Super Bowl? They don't make him 17, 20, 20. They make him 30. You know, 80% more than he normally is, 75% more. It's an adjustment, but it's an over-adjustment. And you get caught, and what happened? Median 17, over-adjustment to 30, what's he land? 25, okay? You got, yes, there was an adjustment that was needed, but look how far, you went too far, and
too
people
far.
Loved, and they ran for it. I remember sitting here with you guys, I don't know how many years ago it was, Joe Burrow against the Rams. Mm-hmm. Burrow median for the season was 5.5. We talked about this specific problem.
Okay.
Okay. The championship game, he got like 20-some yards. Best game of the year. All of a sudden, everybody, it's the Super Bowl. They're going to let it all hang out. He's going to take chances. He's going to run, you know, he's going to run, right? So it opens like 10.5. It goes 12, 13.5. And I said, I'm taking him under. And nobody liked that opinion. 5.5 median, line's 13.5. That's the adjustment. 3 yards. Okay. Now, here we go again. There's an old joke. Uh-huh. The guy goes to the doctor. Says, "Doc, it hurts when I do that." Doctor says, "Well, don't do that." Okay. This is the same thing. We keep going down the same path again. Yeah. Drake May is sure, now 80% higher than his median. There's an adjustment needed, but it's an over adjustment.
He's also playing with an injury. Maybe that could go. But also, the comeback was handicapping the game is. Suspect offensive line. Seattle's going to feast. I have to run. I'm running for my life. I'm going to get plenty of maybe.
Yeah, do you really want him to get hit running on like a design play when he's got a bad shoulder already?
No, I mean, good,
there's a lot of things that go against it. The only thing, the enthusiasm for, because he just had two big games. I agree that there should be an adjustment. I just think it gets over-adjusted and people chase it.
Well, how about this then? Approach it. If you want to go over, how about the longest rush? Because it's around 13.5. That's pretty similar to where it's been. So they haven't made the adjustment on the longest rush.
Good catch, because that's the first bet I made at Westgate was an over. Even though I am I'm looking to eventually hold a position fading Drake May rushing, that 12.5 was exactly what he should be. Just take his whole body of work raw. Don't make any adjustments for him running more lately, having longer runs. That's what it should be. So when you take his 6.5 carries, and what is normally 23.5 yards rushing, but is instead now approaching 40, how are you going to get to 40 on 6.5 rushes if he doesn't break one up? What, is he going to run 10 times? You know, they made an adjustment for the yards, but they didn't do a similar adjustment for his longest, and there should be an adjustment there too. So it's like a position bet. I know I'm coming back hard against it, but I have over 12.5 as sort of a hedge over the anticipated under that I'm going to have down the road.
Yeah, and I believe...
And it's a good middle.
Do you know, top of your head, is the attempts prop... I don't know this off top of my head, actually.
Oops.
Is May's attempts prop at 6.5, is that similar to what it's been as well?
Yeah, that's what it... That his median was 6.5 for the year.
It was, okay.
Yeah, okay. And then I saw 6.5, and it kept going over. I think MGM might have 7.5 under right now. And Westgate put out, they're like, hey, man, go ahead. Go crazy on these things if you want. Westgate put up 6.5 flat, and it stayed there. I actually think somebody bet it under. I don't know why you would do that. But 6.5 even, over even, was available. And there was a 15-cent scalp just sitting out there between one book and I forget it was, maybe it was Caesars or something. Right there on opening night.
Do you do much of that? The arbing, the scalping this week?
Well, it, you know, eventually you may end up with some of that. You know, come this weekend when you start to look at buy things back. Like the Drake May thing for me was definitely a position bet. The lead bet that I know that I'm coming back again. So, okay, I'll take over 12.5. It's the cheapest Drake May rushing that I can get because I don't want to pay the inflated, bloated price in the 30s. No, I'll take this 12.5, which is what it should be on a random game, and I'll work with that. You know, you could get scooped. I guess in some world you could get scooped doing that. It'd be a tough scenario to whip up.
What kind of a middle do you need? I'll give you an example. Kenneth Walker opened 77.5 at some spots. That's coming down. If that gets to like 69.5, would you try to win both bets or would you just...
Well, I don't have any of the Kenneth Walker, so... Okay. But, you know, every half yard or yard is worth a certain amount of cents. So you have to just take a look at it. You know, a guy where you're going over 22.5 and under 26.5, probably a good middle if the juice isn't egregious. But the higher up you go, it's just like an NBA total. Oh, yeah. You know, you need a bigger gap because it's not so, the results don't cluster so strongly right there at that. Mm-hmm. The bigger the number.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Professional better Frank be our guest in studio for the full hour. Coming up next, he sees the value in this game with defense and with special teams. We'll ask him how and why coming up next.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on
VSiN. Welcome back. We continue here with professional bettor Frank B. He's on X at Ties Win. We're live in Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. You have a bet from Circa that you want to tell us about here in a minute, but you also want to attack this game with defense and special teams. Totals in the mid-40s. Does it matter to you the matchup overall as someone who's looking to bet unders on the Super Bowl? And my example would be, had this game been Rams-Bills and the total was 56. Would you prefer that where it's like, if this game's 20-17, I'm going to scoop everything?
Yeah, it's tough. I don't know. I guess you would. I guess you prefer the bigger offensive teams. Because just all that more enthusiasm for the offense. I mean, the talk is of defense for this game. And so it's a little more balanced that way. You'd prefer everybody just to be offense crazy. And mm-hmm. then I think you'll find more value.
Kind of like the Rams-Patriots game from, what, 2018?
Yeah. Or even if it had been the, like the matchup had been Rams-Patriots, probably would have been a little bit better. But, mm-hmm. you know, once you start digging in, you find stuff.
So which bets do you like, defense-related or special teams-related?
Well, it ended up being that a lot of the special team stuff, I found, disparity. Like the... For example, the New England punter, what's his name, Bryce Behringer. Okay, mm-hmm. So he has, he had quite the resume this year. I think he had 10 games of the 20 they played where he had a 59-yard punter longer. But right there, you got there's your median. Okay, and he had a couple in the mid 50s. He was something like 15-5, I don't want to misquote it, 15-5, 16-4 over the number that they posted. They posted 54.5 for him, and it was the biggest difference between my number and theirs on something like that. And even though it's only off by like 2.5 yards or whatever, that's a lot for longest punt because like the window, the range that's available there is not all that great. You know, it's even tighter for like a field goal, but it was off by quite a bit, and it is up to like 56.5 now. I bet that was one of the first bets I made at Westgate. It took over 54.5. I don't know. I think they made a little mistake on that one. So I found a spot there. And then there was some field goal stuff. That actually was the bet that I made yesterday.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Because that's the way I want to attack it as well. What'd you do?
Well, I did a couple of things with the field goal. But one, I used it as a different way to get at the game total, which I like under. And I did take under 46.5 early. And I did a thing like this. I did a thing with Fezzik last week, you know, where we talked about props and stuff. And he's like, yeah, you made a mistake there. You know, I'm like, I don't know. I don't think it's coming back. Really don't think it's coming back. I don't think we're ever going to see 47. So I don't think I will regret that bet. But they had a bet here. And the first time I saw the sheet was yesterday. What will be greater? The longest field goal, mm-hmm. distance of the longest field goal, or total points in the game?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is not a tough one to solve. The longest field goal is lined at 49.5, over minus 20. Okay? So, of course, and then the total is 45.5. So, I just did a little work. I said, okay, if I was getting under 49.5, would I be willing to pay for that? Or what's the fair price? And it turns out it's about $1.70. So somebody gave you an alternate total, said, here, okay. It's 45.5. I'll give you 49.5. The fair price would be 170. Okay? And the buy price was 120. So it's a really good way to, like, sideways get at the under. And I got a little, you know, not, of course, there's a little noise involved there. Mm-hmm. But I like that one. And I still think there's value out there with that because I see it here and there. And it's $1.25 or whatever. So that's one of the field goal bets that I bet.
Okay. You'd play it up to what price then? You wouldn't go to 170 because that'd be fair.
No. No, you don't have to. I mean, you're going to get it for $1.30, $1.25. Now, do I think that the field goal is priced a little high? It's 49.5. I think maybe it should be 48.5. But still, it would still be a good, you know.
You know, these were like in the 50s during regular season games because these guys mm-hmm. were so good.
Oh, I mean, you know. You always yearn for the days of past. MGM used to religiously put up like 54.5 on longest field goal. It was ridiculous, you know. And they would do the same thing with longest touchdown, things like that. And you go around town and you don't. It's not the same anymore. It's not like you're going around. You're just picking off these dumb things that they put up. You know, they've gotten better at it. They've improved. You know, they still sometimes put out that template where you got all these mistakes on it. Either somebody gets it right away or they correct it right away. But yeah, I mean, you know, some of these numbers, you look and they're, you go, wow, I've never seen that during the regular season.
Interesting, right? Mm-hmm. What'd you think of the bet I made, offered at Caesars and Will Hill, Walker to have 5 yards rushing each quarter? What do you think of stuff like this?
Yeah. So this is how they get you. They start to bust up a guy's yardage and say, okay. Will JSN get 50 in the first half and 50 in the second half? Yeah. Will this guy get? You have to understand. There's a certain variance attached to everything in gambling. You know, so like the path to 70 yards for Kenneth Walker is not going to be, you know, 17 every quarter. You know. It's going to be a little bit here, a lot here. It depends on how many possessions are in the quarter.
Right.
So I think that they've figured that thing out, and I think that they want you to bet that. Yes. You could bet the no also, couldn't you? No.
I don't recall.
Well, if you couldn't bet the no, that's an indicator right there. It's no good. Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. But this is also as popular because all this stuff hit in the NFC title game with Puka and JSN. Catch each quarter, 10 yards each quarter, 25 yards each half, 50 yards each half. All that came in too. So, but sometimes you only get one possession.
Well, I'll be honest.
That's the other thing.
But listen, I saw that you made. I saw some other guys at Westgate were making those. So I went and I tried to get the answer, like just how bad they were, or were they bad at all. So I put it into my AI. Like, will you please go and check and see how many games did Kenneth Walker get 5 yards minimum in each quarter? And it spit back one game to me. And I go, like, okay, please do the rest. It pretty much said, no, I'm not doing that. That's too much work. Right, literally said that. Yeah. It says, no, I don't want to do that.
But you have Charbonnet angle, though, too. That's interesting. What did you find with defensive players? Did you get anything, tackles, all that?
Defense was more in the category of, we could talk for a while about it, on fourth down conversions.
Yes.
Yeah. Fourth down conversions, there's a disparity there. You know.
Okay.
So I start down that road. I make that. Will there be a fourth down conversion or not for each team? So Seattle, I'll cut right to it. Seattle is dead last in the NFL in fourth down conversions per game at 0.4. Okay. Now, I found it curious while I was doing this that I go, okay, they're a good team. I kind of can reason out why they would be reluctant to go for fourth downs. Then I look and I see who's number 30. They're number 32. Who do you think number 31 in the league is in fourth down conversions? Who do you think that might be?
Well, don't say it's New England.
No, New England is number 11.
Okay.
At 1.1.
Well, I have to go conservative coach.
There you go. You're on the right path.
Tampa Bay Bulls.
No. Think defense. What is Seattle? Good defense. Good team.
D'Amico Ryans. Houston.
Houston is number 30.
Yeah.
Number 31.
Chargers.
Denver.
Denver. That was my.
Well,
okay.
Think about that. Houston, yeah. Denver. Three good teams. Three great defensive teams. What do they not want to do? They don't want a mistake by going for it on fourth down and giving up field position that they don't. They would just punt it, or if we have a kicker good enough, we'll kick try for a field, we'll get something out of it. But we're not going to give you the ball. You know, we're going to make you earn it every step of the way.
And he trusts Myers, too, big time.
For sure, yeah. Yeah, this is, there's disparity there. We could talk about that later about the kickers. You know, you got an 11-year pro in Myers and a rookie in Andy, whatever his name.
Yeah.
And you can see it in their resume. You know, clearly that's the outer kicker is the guy that's going to make the difference. He's the guy that's going to get you there if you bet over on longest field goal. In fact, if you were betting a longest field goal or that bet out there, if they said Seattle's longest field goal versus the game total, I might have considered it. That's how much of a disparity.
Okay. All right. Did you bet Seattle to have the longest field goal in the game? And by the way, what number did you get on Seattle
absolutely.
With the fourth down conversion?
Fourth down conversion. Listen, at Westgate, this was a blunder on my part. The second trip to the window, I didn't see it on the sheet the first trip. So the first trip, I got two other bets. And the second trip up to the window, I saw it. I think somebody even pointed it out to me, because Frank, there's the one you're looking for. And he was plus 150, no fourth down conversion by Seattle. Way up, way more than what my number was. So I got, I was in line waiting. I get there, and somebody had hit it already. Somebody already got it. And it was down to plus 130. And I should have taken it. But when you go to Westgate on opening night, you have to have a bit of a strategy because a lot of places copy them. And if you get too overzealous and you make too many bets, half of them later you say, oh, look at this. I could have got better than that. So I kind of have a little policy. Like if I don't get the opening number, I don't bet it unless it's something outrageous. And so I passed on it. And then, the market fell. I did find a bettable number. At somewhere else he copied it, but for much less money. But I should have just taken the 130 because it's value.
We'll continue with Frank B., professional bettor here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. He's been scouting the town since last week. May have changed his mind a little bit about the city. And would he consider catching a late flight to the state of Washington to bet some incredible prices on the Patriots? I'll explain coming up next.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Welcome back. It's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're live in Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino Super Bowl week. One of our favorite guests over the years here on this program, professional bettor Frank B. in studio with us for another half an hour. So have you ever, for the Super Bowl or something else, have you ever gotten wind of numbers that are off in another part of Nevada, or now that it's legal in the country and you're like, I need to catch a last minute flight here because I need to take advantage of those numbers. Have you done that before?
Well, several years ago, there was only one state to bet in, it was Nevada.
Yep,
I used to go up, Randy, I think Randy still does it. He did it up until a couple years ago when they converted them to William Hills, but there used to be books up north, Northern Nevada, Carson City, Reno, that anytime a team from Oakland or San Francisco was involved in the game, they would push that number like to the point of ridiculous. You know, mm-hmm. A game could be like one, and it would be literally be three there. You know, and that's a huge difference. So we would go up there every year, and there were years San Francisco made the Super Bowl, and you're going up there to bet against them, and it's great. The number's great because they're adjusting it. They know everybody, the locals are going to come in and bet the team. People are going to drive in from the Bay Area mm-hmm. and bet and bet on the local team. So you certainly got a deal on the number. But when it came to the size of the bet, that's where, maybe they got hit one time, but they would set it up so you would ask for the bet, and it could be on the side. You know, it was on the side. And if you took the favorite, or if you took the local team, it would come up authorization, but they would authorize anything. But if you took the other thing, the value side, it would be 500 and that's it.
Oh, they cut you
off. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, they would control it because they knew that they were vulnerable and they were taking advantage of the local bias, and call it whatever you want. The local gouge was what they were doing, but, you know, they were prepared. They weren't going to let you come in and bet, you know, five figures, even on the Super Bowl, on a game that's, you know, 2 points off.
So let me give you this. This is from our buddy Scott Seahawk Sanders, who lives up in Seattle. The Snoqualmie Casino and Hotel.
I've been there. Snoqualmie.
Snoqualmie Falls, God's country.
Yeah, right. There's a railroad goes right through there, and it's not far from Fall City, and yeah.
Okay, so were you up there casinos and everything like that? Obviously?
Yeah, I was up there looking around. I also know people up there. Yeah.
Okay, so this
looking
is...
around.
Yeah. Browsing. What do you got over here? This is from today, Patriots plus six, minus 110.
Okay, well, that's pretty good.
And so I asked him about, like, how big of a bet would they take? And he said he thinks easily five figures, likely more. They're begging for Pat's money. They usually take big limits. One of his buddies got 20,000 on a Reds total last year, a win total in baseball. They took 20,000 on that.
Yeah.
So you'd think if they're going to take 20,000 on that, they take a big one on the Super Bowl.
How about Tacoma?
Did you see this?
Yeah, give them the money line.
The MGM Tacoma has the Patriots 3-1 on the money line.
Wow.
The Seahawks.
Now you better get value when you go up it that way, because it's $15 for a beer in those bars. I'm telling you. You know, it's I mean, the question is, how much will they take on the wrong side? You know, the price is that way for a reason. It's not because they expect you to take the plus six or the plus 300.
Mm-hmm.
That's not why it's like that.
So if you or friends who you know were told, hey, look, they'll take a huge bet, would you have any interest, or do you think friends would have any interest?
Yeah, there's guys up there. You could get them to go. I mean, listen, I think I told you guys. I talked to a friend yesterday, and he says he already looked into it, and they told him how much they would take, and he says, I'm not, you know, driving the couple hours it's going to take if that's the case.
You know?
So, well, you know, hey, it just depends, you know, what bet size is going to satisfy you, you know? For a guy that only bets $1,000, sure, go, you know, he might drive an hour to get an extra full point. You know,
right? But
get
if you need
all
to catch,
that extra money, on
if
the,
you need
on
to book a flight, catch a flight,
yeah,
to go
I'm
up
not
there.
Doing that.
No, you have to get down.
Those days are over, man.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So you said off air, it's been a good trip so far. Can you take us through what it was like in the old days, where you would go out at 4 a.m. and scout, and how this trip has been?
Yeah, I the last few trips I hadn't got. I've just been booked up with stuff to do, and didn't get to have really a chance to get back in the casinos like I used to, and go looking around, go creeping around in the middle of the night and see what's doing, what is this place dealing, you know, what are the, you know, what's going on promotion wise, over here, and so I've been able to do that the last few nights, really, is when I've been doing it, and I'm finding. I'll tell you what, on the preparation on the way to come here. Did you guys, here at Circa, they started a promotion, and you should have seen, like, the 24-hour period when the pros, the APs, got kind of wind of it. And I'm talking about the Canada thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's what initially happened. I go to the computer in the morning, and I, you know, you look at your message, and you go, oh, look at that. Okay, got a message from... I don't know who did this. There was multiple messages, but I don't know who did it first, but I read Munchkin's first. And he's trying to be coy about it. He's like, hey, you got any Canadian money? I'm like, oh, that's an odd one. Okay, then I go to another message, and it's somebody else asking about, hey, you got a lot of friends that are Canadians down there, don't you? I'm going, what's going on here? You know, it's a little too. So it doesn't take a little bit of time. And the initial word to the Advantage Player world was this promotion that they're running, where they give you you bring in Canadian money, and they'll treat it like U.S. dollars, right?
For par, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, is that what's called on par?
Yeah.
Okay, so for hotels, for restaurants, and here's where the mistake was. It was out there circulating that they'd also did it for slot play, you know, and it was for up to 100,000. Okay? Now, the 100,000 is a number that they'll take on the restaurants and the thing, but it's not for the slot play. But you should have seen what was going on, you know, for like a 12, 16-hour period when before it got that all got cleared up. So whoever floated that out there, that it was good on the slots, it's good on the slots, but to a lesser degree, a much lesser degree. But you had guys, they're trying to wrangle Canadian people. They're trying to gather. By that evening, I'm at my pool at the bar. I'm hitting on 80-year-old Canadian women because I'm like, yeah. I go, yeah, well, hey, I could take you to Vegas for the weekend, you know? Wayne Newt, wait, I know Mike Palm. I'll introduce you, you know?
Yes.
Everybody was just desperate trying to do whatever they could to get on it because this was the thing we were making lines on how long it would last if that was true. You know, started out like 10 days and it's a week. I said, no, it's 3 days. It's whoever can get it together and hit them twice and it's over with. Because each one, if it was really 100,000, would have been worth like 25K per name to do that. And you kind of lose all... You know, you lose your mind a little bit if you think that's going on. Being like, well, they're not dumb enough to do that, are they? No, they're not dumb enough. I don't even think that ever existed. Like, I think somebody misread it, kind of wishful thinking, and then sent it out there, start recruiting people, and then news just spread. You know, APs are, you know, if they can do it once, they want to do it 10 times.
Right, right. Know?
Yeah, okay. Tell us about the book you're a part of, All About Sports Betting.
Okay, so it's been... We've been working on it for 3 years. The primary author, the main author, is Blair Rodman. He's a, you know, he's been a gambler, sports, poker. He's got a World Series bracelet, but he's been working on it for years. And it's a, I guess, you would call it an introductory cover-all sports betting book. And I consulted and contributed to more, some of the more technical stuff, and you know, some of the, like, can you win, you know. What pushes you over the edge? Anthony Curtis, you know, he's the publisher, runs Las Vegas Advisor, and he contributed the contest section. He and I went into that as primarily him, and then he wrote some Mattress Mac stuff. So there's just about everything in that book. There's like a treatment of just about everything, and it came out in the last couple weeks. It is available on Amazon, but I think you do better going through LVA. I think it'll be less. And they could get free shipping and everything like that. So, but it's out there. It's all about sports betting. And just go to Las Vegas Advisor, and you'll see it on there.
Very good. Do you know, top of your head, best Super Bowl you've ever had, worst Super Bowl you've ever had?
Yeah. Well, what do you think it is?
Rams-Patriots.
That's the best one.
That's the best one.
Yeah.
That is.
Nothing happened.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Right. And so the opposite, it kind of applies. The Super Bowl where there was over a thought, they set the record for yards.
Oh, Eagles, total, Pats?
Yeah. It was over 1,000 yards. The only game that's ever exceeded 1,000 yards, you know. And, you know, because for the most part, you don't really lose on Super Bowls when you bet in this manner, when you're just carpet bombing everything and you get, you know, such high volume. And what you're doing is you're spreading what I like to call spreading horizontally instead of vertically, like just making a couple of big bets. You're just making a bunch of advantageous bets over and over again, and it's hard to lose that way. But I have had a couple. I lost when it was Chicago and the Colts too. I lost that one.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, I lost on that one. I can't remember. I think I went hog wild on a couple of props, and they all lost. Good. You know, the bigger bets.
Stop paying full price for gas. Download the free Upside app and earn real cash back every time you fill up. Quick and easy, and it adds up. Drivers are earning $200 to $300 a year just buying the gas they already needed. Promo code Network for 25 cents back per gallon on your first tank. Cash out anytime to your bank account or e-gift cards like Amazon, and download the free Upside app now. Promo code Network. Network, limited time, 25 cent per gallon bonus. See upside.com for details.
More with professional bettor Frank B coming up next. I'll tell you the story of how falling asleep one time cost him part of $900,000 next. Frank B., professional bettor, cool enough to hang out here during Super Bowl week for a full hour with us as we're live in downtown Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. A couple of props that you talked about on the game that you like. Longest field goal in the game compared to total points scored?
Yeah.
You like the field goal over on that one.
That one hits on both ends of it because I like the field goal. I mean, listen, I think 49.5 is right, but I agree that it should be you know, somewhere right next to that. And I like the game under, and I'm trying to figure out a way to get at the under, and this is a highly correlated way to get at it. I should have bet more on it.
Yep. You've had an incredible life. You have incredible stories. Even the last one you told about the blackjack on 13s and everyone getting in the bus and driving past each other on the way to the casino, and the story of just walking into Resorts World and sliding over and scooping a lot of money where the guys left the multipliers and they made a mistake. Hopefully coming soon, the incredible story you have to tell about jail and safety deposit boxes and all this. But this one I can't wait. And you've set this up for quite some time, but it involves falling asleep and a lot of money. Take it away. And you sent the picture in as well from the casino in Lake Tahoe. You have the floor.
Right there. So listen, Paul, this is something we kind of like loosely have in common, right? Like a missed out on the jackpot.
good call.
So this, I was spending summers in Tahoe, over the last half dozen years. And, you know, so I had a permanent place up there and drive in. And the picture that they have up there now, I was looking at that for like a couple of weeks. I knew what it was. And what it was is that is a instance of where the casinos do this. They'll have accumulated progressive money, okay? Mm-hmm. And it'll be over here. It'll be on this machine that nobody plays anymore, or it'll just be something ridiculous, or it's just money that they have to give away. And the reason they have to give it away is because progressive money belongs to the players by state regulation. They can't just have a meter somewhere of which you've been playing a machine and, you know, a small percentage of what you feed in on every play goes to that meter. That's your money. That's the player's money. So they can't just take it down. If they take the machine down, they got to move the money somewhere else. So this was a case of they moved a bunch of money to this small bank of machines. And so when they do that, what happens is you say, well, okay, is this much harder to hit than where the money used to sit, or is it much easier? And, you know, I won't drag this out too long, but I did a little work on it, and it's not that hard. And the machine was much easier to hit the jackpot on than that amount that didn't merit that amount. So it's a play, okay? And I have a friend who's very good with a lot of things, but in particular machines, and I said, hey, this thing's up here, you know, nobody's going near it. And, you know, I gave him a little bit of info on it, and it ended up that I was during a lazy period. You know, I get up in the morning, I go mountain biking, then I go, you know, out to the lake, and, you know, I wasn't looking to get involved with something where I had to sit on it for hours and hours every day, days on end, because if you're going to play something like that, you lock it up. Mm-hmm. If you're going to start playing and investing in something like that, you don't let anybody else have it. And there were so few machines that we could have done that. So he comes up, he's got somebody with him, and, you know, they get there that night, and they're ready to get right to work. And I'm like, you know, I don't want to play tonight. You know, I got to do my stuff in the morning. I'll, you know, go ahead, you know, have at it, and we'll figure it out tomorrow. So I think they played that night, and then the next day, I'm like, okay, listen, I just did all my daily routine. I need to take a nap. And then I'll be over, and we'll figure something out, you know, a schedule or something. I wake up, you know, eventually get over to the phone, and I see the message, and it says something like, it's over. Now, what I took that as is something bad happened to them. Mm-hmm. Like they maybe recognize, you know, he's a known guy. Maybe somebody knew him, and they said, we don't want you in here. Or maybe they took it down or whatever. And I said, what happened? He goes, we hit it.
Just like that.
Yeah, I go, okay. So, you know, yes, I was very nonchalant about it, and I was like, well, yeah, because it's like the odds of him hitting it that fast,
like a day.
I mean, yeah, before a full day of play had been taking place, right? So, you know, I was just taking my good old time and get up. I'll get over there. Okay, how, you know, figure out some kind of deal on this, and you know, I didn't take it so bad, like you might think, because I would have only had a fraction of that, you know, not in, you know.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And.
Well, 300,000 is a nice fraction.
Well, it wouldn't even been that. It would have been an even smaller fraction because there's more people involved.
Okay.
Okay. Yep. But it was one of those cases where, you know, there's certain things in life where you just say yes, because if you don't and X happens, it's going to be tough to deal with.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
It's not that you think it's all that great. Now, this was, happened to be a thing that was good. But even if it's not, like I, you know, where I grew up in Cleveland, I have a friend. He worked at the Department of Sanitation. Him and Tim, I think it was 16 or 17 of them. And every week somebody would come around, everybody kicked in $5, and they played the Ohio Lottery. Okay? And whatever it was like $3 million. And there was this one guy who's going to be, he's the genius. He's going to be the genius. He goes, you know, I'm not putting my $5 in anymore. Not doing it. He goes, you guys are stupid. He goes, we're never going to win. That week.
No,
that week.
Yes, they won. And so you can imagine being that guy, you know, whatever they're doing, they're in the facility. He goes, my friend had to go in a truck with a guy. And everybody else around the place is like zippity doo da, you know. And yeah. This guy's yeah. sitting back, slumped over like a sad sack. Everybody sure. else that he works around just made, you know, 1/15 of whatever it is. That
cashing tickets is what it's all about.
Here's $5. You know, oh, that's man. Just the thing. There was an incident. I remember that just brings back a memory from the Four Queens. There was this old dude Max. And I used to play poker with him, and he would come to me, and he would say, you know, hey, Frank, I think I know how to beat this Caribbean stud. I know how to beat it. Just don't make the side bet. That's what he would say. Just don't make the side bet. And I would see, we would be playing poker at the Fremont, and I'd leave, and I'd see him over he'd be at the Caribbean stud table. And then one day, I showed up at the poker room, and everybody, did you hear what happened? He goes, no. Over at the Four Queens, the jackpot on the Caribbean stud. I forget what the number was, but sure. It's a lot that just pissed somebody off. And this dude, Max, didn't put the $5 in, and he got the royal flush.
Oh,
you
my
know?
God.
And forever, people did the same thing to him because he was kind of an ornery poker player. You'd beat him out of a pot, and he'd be steaming, and they'd throw him $5.
Yeah.
You know, they'd throw him $5, which is the $5 he should have bet on the Caribbean stud.
Oh.
Yeah, that dude keeled over and died at the Excalibur poker table with his wife sitting behind him.
What?
I think it just, that he died at the poker table at the Excalibur. He was an older guy, but he was a hothead. He was always letting things get to him. And I believe that Caribbean stud thing contributed to it. You
to
know,
that.
It just fried his brain.
How about most unique person or like job? Because the one time you came in, you said we were back on the blackjack team. You had a fake ID guy, a lie detector test guy.
Yeah, well, we played, you know, I played a lot of solo blackjack, but I play with teams. You know, I used to play overseas and stuff like that. But what is
in a pinch, the strangest, most unique job or trait or this guy, you go see this guy for this.
Well, no, I can tell you that when I was playing in Australia, you learn your lesson. You don't only do certain things once. And back there, you could do a thing called, there's a lot of casinos, you could do a thing called rider betting, okay? Which means you're playing, and if I decide I want to jump in and play and maybe the table's full, uh-huh. or it doesn't even have uh-huh. to be, I can take money and put it on your bet,
yeah.
or next to your bet, and mm-hmm. I got action on
yeah.
you,
yeah.
okay? But the thing is, you got control of the hand. So now I'm over there, I'm playing for some guys, you know, I'm playing with a group and we're betting big money, we're getting thousands of dollars a hand. And I got sick of sitting at the table and this guy seemed reasonable and he's playing third base and the count was really good. And so I put 2,000 out but he's got control of the hand. He gets dealt a 19 against a 10. And it comes around to him, he's playing third base. I go, what are you thinking about? Because I'm thinking he's got a 10 under there. I'm like, so? and you know, and he hit it, and then that was it.
Oh, boy, that's going to end immediately. Yeah.
I go, I'm done.
Yeah. Did they give you anything from that $900?
I never did
jackpot?
That again, and I never did that. It's just like the thing, the joke with the doctor. Don't do that.
Yeah, sure. What'd they give you from that jackpot at Mount Blue?
Well, they were nice. You know, they took just enough to wet my beak. You know?
Okay.
Wet the beak. All right, Fanucci.
Don Fanucci.
Good job, Fanucci.
You're the best. Thanks
good
for the
job.
Time. It's very you. Valuable, and crush it on Super Bowl Sunday, okay?
Let's hope so.
There you go. Frank. Professional better Frank B. at Ties Win on X with us in studio. Notes from our 2026 Super Bowl betting guide coming up. And we'll give you an idea of what to expect with the a la carte betting guide next.